Well, I just love Baptism Sunday, don't you? And you know, just the understanding of number one, what these kids, these shy kids were willing to do because they want to publicly declare that they have put their faith in Jesus. Right? Like, I know there's a lot of us adults. If I asked you to come up here, you'd be like, No, I'm good. Can we arrange something private, maybe? You know, less people would be good. Can we have a privacy screen? They can just hear me get baptized, right? But these kids, they stood up and they went for it. And guys, can you make sure that you click that first blank slide and then that one? Thanks. And so today, I know Pastor Ewan gave us absolutely an amazing message last week for those of you who were here. And as you know, I was away speaking in Hillspring, and that was a great time. I always enjoy being at our monthly service out in Hillspring and getting to speak to the people out there. If you were with us in Hillspring, you're going to recognize this message, because I figured 10 people heard it over there. We might as well have 60-some people hear it here, right? And so that's what we're going to be doing. And so I wanted to start off with a question that may surprise you. Did you know that Christmas started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve eating the apple? Did you know that? That's when Christmas started. See, on that day, as humanity rejected the only rule that God gave, on that day, when all hope was lost, when the curse of sin became present on the earth, what we find is in the midst of the utter despair and hopelessness, a great hope was given. And I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know the things that are going on in your life, but one thing I am sure of is every one of us could probably use a little bit more hope, right? You might have loved ones that are ill right now. Maybe you're ill right now. You're not feeling it, right? You're struggling day by day to get by. Maybe you're dealing with some emotional or mental health issues, as so many of us are discovering that we're dealing with these days. And I want to let you know, like, no shame in that, right? This is part of the human condition. And we're here to support one another and to love each other. But things can feel hopeless. I mean, for a lot of us, I don't know if you're like me, but you've probably been noticing, you know, your grocery bill's getting bigger, right? Maybe you noticed that your mortgage payments or your rent payments kind of jumped a bit if it renewed, right? You're feeling the strain. And then we come to Christmas, right? Christmas, that time of the year where we're like, I got to lavish generosity and joy on everyone, and we will deal with the interest payments in January, right? And for some of us, Christmas isn't a time of joy. It's not a time of peace or of hope. It's a time of chaos and just hoping we can get through it and pay off the bills. Maybe you need hope. I know as well, maybe you grew up in church, or maybe, you know, you're thinking, when you think, you're like, I believe that there's a God, but, you know, I'm a good person, right? I'm going to get my way there. And you're like, if I can just be good enough, then God's going to approve of me. But let's be honest for a moment. How many of you actually believe that you are good enough for an all-knowing, all-powerful, perfectly righteous and holy God? Like, you know that thing that you thought when that person cut you off on the street? Right? And so right there, I might have just taken away your hope. You're like, oh man, I'm going to hell. Right? But no, there's hope, because here's the thing. Works, when we focus in on being good enough, on doing enough good things to get into God's good graces and have Him love us and care about us. And I just share, that's a very hopeless place to be. Because I know for myself, I tend to go, this is the right thing. And I go, but this is more fun. Right? This is the right thing, but it's so much work. And man, if we were judged solely on the things we do or don't do, watch out, right? But here's the thing. At Christmas time, the reason why we can say hope is born is because Jesus, our Savior, the Savior of the world, the hope for the world, was born. And that's something worth celebrating. I'm going to pray for a moment here. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can look to you in any season of doubt, of challenge, of despair, and that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've got us. God, I thank you that you saw that we're not good enough. We messed up the plan that you had for us. That we actively rebel against you in our day-to-day lives. And yet you look at us and you look at us with love. God, I thank you that scripture says that while we were still sinners, in other words, while we were actively rejecting God, Christ Jesus died for us. God, I thank you for that. Thank you for that. So Lord, today open our hearts to receive what you wish to speak to us. And I ask that you would take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you would make them something worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Genesis, we see this. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle. Remember, let's go back a little bit here just for a refresher for those of you who need it, right? We've got Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They're told, don't eat from this tree. And then we're told that a serpent starts talking to them. It's weird. I get it. All right. But we're going to roll with it. So a serpent starts talking to them and convinces them that they actually should eat the fruit that they're told not to, because actually God just doesn't want them to become gods. And so their lack of trust in God and their desire for something that God didn't intend ended up causing the first act of sin in the world and the fall of humanity. And so in the midst of God explaining what the result of this is going to be, we see, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity. Do you know what enmity means? Right? We'll just say, you know, they become enemies, right? They're going to fight. They're going to butt heads. It's not going to go well. Between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Okay? But look at this now. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And in fact, what we see here, this seed, this he who would crush the serpent, the tempter, became the central theme of much of what the early people in Scripture were looking to find. The question was always, who will that seed be? And so as we see here that the people are looking for this seed, and so when Eve gives birth to Seth, there's a sense that she's saying, this one, Seth must be the hope. Seth must be the seed. Who will that seed be? And let me tell you, that seed, that he is the seed of faith, freedom, hope, and reconciliation. The fact is, when we go to the Bible and we read it with the understanding that we have today, we begin to see that Christmas and all that it unleashed is the central promise of the entire Bible. And so following from this promise that God makes to Adam and Eve, because an aside. Isn't it so amazing that in the midst of one of the most catastrophic events in human history, that God didn't give up, that God didn't say, well, you're all in trouble. Get out. I never want to see you again. No, right from the get-go, he's like, we're going to solve this. Right from the get-go, I've got a plan. I care about you. I'm not giving up on you. So then we continue on in the Bible and we see Abraham, right? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. He only had two sons, so it's kind of funny that we sing that song. But, you know, that he has sons of those sons and all of that. But anyways, what we see is that God tells Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So once again, Adam and Eve receive a promise of a seed that will make things right. Then Abraham receives a promise of a seed. And this seed is not just Abram's direct descendant. This is the seed through which all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He's not just promising you're going to have a kid and he's going to be awesome. He's saying through your offspring, there's going to be one through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Then we come to Israel in the Mosaic covenant. I'm kind of walking you through the Old Testament right now if you're not catching that. All right. So we have Israel in the Mosaic covenant. A covenant is just an unbreakable promise between two groups. Okay. So God speaks to the nation of Israel and through Moses, they create a covenant. And what we see there is the hope of salvation, the hope of a savior, and the hope of the church. Prophet Isaiah. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. Read this with me. I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. There's God. He's not just saying like Israel is a light to the nations, but what we see in scripture, they fail and they fail and they fail and they fail and they fail. And then Jesus is born and he becomes a light to all the nations. Later on, we see a promise to David, right? We've got the Mosaic covenant following the Abrahamic covenant, following the covenant to Adam and Eve. And here we have David. This promise, you have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. And yet, I don't know if you caught this. Is there a king in Israel? Is there a descendant of David on the throne? Well, not physically right now, right? In fact, you know, when Jesus was on earth, there was a King Herod. Was he a descendant of David? No. He was Herod the Tetrarch. He was actually considered a usurper by the Jewish people. And so, if we believe that God is faithful, and we look at this and we go, okay, wait a second, there's supposed to always be a descendant of David on the throne forever and ever and ever, through all generations, right? So what's going on here? Well, let me tell you, okay? What happens when Jesus is born? We're told the king has been born in Bethlehem. The king was born. And in fact, Herod found this so upsetting that when he found out that there was this 2-year-old kid in this village, in one of the places that he had rule over, he tried to find out where this kid was. And when he couldn't find him, he ordered that every single boy in that village, in that region, within that age range, should be slaughtered. Because he was terrified that the actual descendant of David would come and that the people would rise up and kick him out of power. And so there's Jesus. He's the king. And you might say, okay, but Jesus died. And he rose again. And now he ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven. So isn't there still not a king on the throne? Well, we believe something as followers of Jesus, okay? We believe that the kingdom of God is present. That it is a present reality in us. And I know, I'm getting into a lot of theology today. But I think on Christmas, we tend to sit like up here. And today I think it's important that we come down here on some of it, all right? So the kingdom of God is a present reality. But when we look around, we see a lot of messed up stuff happening, right? And so if you're a thinking person, you might say, well, if Jesus died and he said everything right, and the kingdom of God is here now, and the kingdom of God is supposed to be this perfect and amazing place where the perfect God of righteousness and justice lives, why does all this bad junk happen? And that's because the work isn't done yet. The kingdom is here, but it is also not yet. And in fact, the early church from the times of the earliest disciples of Jesus, the cry on the church's heart has been, come Lord Jesus, come. We are told that all of creation is experiencing labor pains, just waiting for the return of Jesus to establish his earthly kingdom and his earthly throne on earth, to create a place where there's no more suffering and there's no more disease, there's no more death, where hope reigns supreme. And so let me encourage you, if you're like, things are messed up and I can't believe in a God who allows things to be messed up, I hear you. But his work isn't done yet. He promised to establish a king on the throne of Israel for all time. And in fact, scripture tells us that that is what will happen. Here's the hope that we receive in the Old Testament of the Bible. Surely he took up our pain. This is 600 years before Jesus is born, by the way. This is written. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 600 years before Jesus is born, we see here God's plan. That one who is innocent will find on himself every wrong of humanity throughout all history and all future times would be laid on him. Would be laid on him. See, what we find in Scripture is that with Jesus, hope is born. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate the virgin birth, right? We celebrate this idea of, you know, we see Bethlehem and the little child in the manger and all of these things, and we celebrate them, but I don't think we understand the significance. The virgin birth was promised hundreds of years before Jesus. His birth in Bethlehem was promised hundreds of years before Jesus. His lineage of being from David's family was promised. His death promised. His resurrection promised. In fact, Jesus himself, what did he say when he was confronted by people at the temple? Who are you to do these things? He said, I'll tell you a sign. Destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. And everyone went, you're going to build an entire temple in 3 days? And what does the Bible say? But he wasn't speaking of the temple that he was in, but he was speaking of his own body. Let me tell you, I just have to say, if somebody matches a whole bunch of things that were said 600 years before, and they say, I am the Son of God, I am here, I am the Savior, and I am going to die, I'm going to be lifted up, right? On a cross, I'm going to die, but don't fear, because 3 days later, I'm going to raise from the grave. And then he is brutally murdered, right? Tortured and murdered by experts in execution. Everything is double checked. He's thrown into a tomb. They seal the tomb. They throw expert Roman soldiers in front of the tomb. And then his body goes missing 3 days later. And there's a whole bunch of people saying, we saw him, or we ate with him. And then we're actually told, when scripture was written, we're told that 500 people saw him. Right? And that he's appearing to large groups of people at various times. And we might say, well, isn't that convenient? It's not like I can go out and check the witness statements. But when these books were written, you could. You could be like, so do you have a few names for me? Yeah, here's the list. Go check it out. Get to know these. I gotta say, if someone says, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna rise again, and they go through all of that, and then people are seeing them, and then they watch him ascend into heaven and promise that he's coming back. I don't know about you, but I'm believing that guy. I'm just saying, right? Like, if somebody does all that, I'm like, I'm in. I'm good. So yeah, there's hope. Hope is born in Jesus. Because he is the seed, right? And he is coming back. Because, man, if he went through all that and he was right, I believe he's coming back. So there is hope. And there's hope for us today, too, because we're told that in Jesus, in his death and his resurrection, that the curse of sin and death has been broken over those who would say yes to Jesus. Those who would say, Jesus did the work, but in him I am free. I'm placing my trust in his free gift of salvation. All of a sudden, we find these things, and that dead spirit within us is raised to new life. It's like we're plugged back into the wall, and that light bulb inside of us that's our soul, it springs to life again, and that can't be extinguished. I love what the Apostle Paul says to the church in Rome. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. That is what Jesus did. He took what Adam did and all the terrible things that happened, and he said, I've got a way out. I'm the door, right? If you want to get to the Father, come through me. But the door's not locked. Jesus unlocked the door. The door's sitting there open, right? And he's actually in the doorway, and he's coming out to you like, come on in. And all we have to say is, okay, I'll come in. I'm good. Let's go. And then we are justified. In other words, made right. Justice prevails. And we are seen as innocent. This is what he writes later on to the church in Ephesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You can be the best person that this world has ever seen, but it's not by works that you're saved. You could be the worst person this world has ever seen, but it's not by works that you're condemned. By grace, the grace of God, and Jesus' work on the cross, you've been saved through what? Faith. Now, that said, we're not called to be lazy after that and go, well, I'm saved, I'm good. Because what does it say? It says that we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's so amazing, he knows what we're going to do. He knows if we're going to give our lives to him. And if we're going to give our lives to him, he's like, here's what I want you to do. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose for you. And you can grab hold of that plan. You can grab a hold of that purpose. And you can have things going for you in this life, thick and thin, no matter what comes your way, no matter how hard things get. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are adopted into the family of God, that you are an heir of the kingdom of the Most High King of Kings, and that you can run into the throne room of the Most High God with confidence and wrap your arms around him and bring your requests to him, knowing that he is a good father and desires to give you good gifts. That's hope, people. In Jesus, there is hope today and for the future. Today, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God when we place our trust in him, and one day soon, he will come again. And when he does, things are going to get shook up. Things are going to seem crazy. But my God, I look forward to that day when we can look him face to face, when we can hear him say those wonderful words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. I look forward to the day when he reigns bodily and spiritually as the king over Israel and all the world. When every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. What a day. What a day. Praise God. Here's two things that I encourage you today to take hold of this Christmas season. The first is grasp the hope of Jesus. Friends, if you're someone who says, yeah, I follow Jesus, then let me encourage you. What you don't need is more self-help books and more YouTube videos talking about how you can get more hope or anything like that. What you need to do is grab a hold of the hope that you already have and just allow it to be renewed in you that you have Jesus. Think of what he did for you this Christmas season. What Easter represents following out of that. Think of the example that he set you and the promises that he has made. And have hope. For those who are sitting in this place and you're like, yeah, I don't know about this Jesus thing. I hear you, but I want you to know that he loves you and he is pursuing you and he has never given up on you. He is not disgusted by you. In fact, we say here at this church that Jesus loves and accepts you just as you are. But he loves you too much to leave you there. He's not saying, ugh, get away from me. He's saying, please, come to me so I can renew you and I can change you and I can give you life. That's the God we serve. Nothing can tear you away from his love. Because while we were pushing him away, he was running to us and giving everything to save us. The second thing is this, share the hope of Jesus. Too often, we're like, I'm good, there my responsibility ends. But we saw, Paul said, right? We were saved to do good works that were prepared for us to do beforehand. And what did Jesus do? What are like the two big things that we're always like, yep, these are the great things that Jesus said. The great commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And a second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In this, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled. Right? And what's the second thing that he says? Right before he leaves the earth, he's standing with his disciples. And what does he say? Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you to do and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You think that if those are his final words to us when he was bodily here, that that means that we should not talk about the person that has saved us? That we should keep it to ourselves? That we should hide it inside? That we should try our best? I mean, we should try our best not to offend people. But what does Paul say? He says that the cross is offensive. And he says, if I'm going to offend someone, it's going to be with the cross. Right? Because this is the thing. This is the hope of the world. This is the cure for what most ails civilization. And we push it on deep down. And we say, I don't want to be different. I don't want to look different. I don't want to talk different. I don't want to cause offense by telling people anything that might not align with the way that they believe or the way that they feel. And so I'm just going to zip my lips. That's not what God has for us. That's not it at all, right? Because don't you think if God intended us for us to do that, he would have just been like, well, this is all there is then, and I'm just going to come back and set everything right, and everyone else can just like move on down the line. What does Peter say? Peter says, God isn't slow in keeping his promises as some people count slowness. What is it? He says, God seems to delay because he desires that all should reach repentance, that none should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Why is he holding off? Why is he allowing all these bad things? Why hasn't he wiped sin off the map? Because he wants to give us the free choice, the free opportunity for as many as possible to say yes to Jesus and the hope therein. Heavenly Father, today I thank you so much for every single one of these wonderful people that's in person and online today and watching later on, Lord God, interacting with us there. And God, I ask that you would just help the truth of this Christmas miracle to shake us up, to stir something in our hearts, Lord God, and that you would help us in this Christmas season not to shy away from what truly is the meaning of this season, that we wouldn't just make this a children's fairy tale or start focusing in on all of the Western trappings of Christmas and taking away from the truth of the birth of Jesus Christ and what it means for the world, but that we would lean into that, that we would raise the next generation to understand the truth of these things, to understand that, God, you never gave up on us, but that you keep your promises. And so, Lord, today, just begin to do a new work in us. And Lord, right now, I thank you for those people who you are just stirring things in their hearts right now. I thank you for the work that your Holy Spirit is doing in people, whether they're online or in this place. I thank you for these people and your love for them, God. Thank you, Jesus. While no one's looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, I just want to talk right now, just for a moment, to those who have heard what I've talked about regarding Jesus and what he did for you, and you would, who in your heart you would say, man, I want what those little girls that got baptized today have. I want to follow this Jesus. I think I believe what he did. I think I believe that he's God, that he died for my sins and that God raised him from the dead. And I think I'm ready to serve him. And if that's you, I just want to encourage you right now, with no one looking around, will you take the bold step of faith just to raise your hand for me today so that I can be keeping you in mind as I pray for you today? If you would like to give your life to Jesus in this moment, just raise your hand online. You can put, I desire, thank you, I see your hand. And we're just going to, we're going to pray today and give him praise. And understand, this prayer isn't something magical or mystical. It's the belief, it's the faith in your heart that does the work. So will everyone in this room just pray with me today this prayer. And if you believe it in your heart, know that you are giving your life to Jesus. Pray after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for this Christmas miracle. Jesus, today I give you my life. Please give me yours. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and transform me by your love. I give all I am to you today, and I commit to follow you the rest of my days. And I thank you that when I mess up, you don't abandon me, you don't reject me, but you pick me up, you dust me off, and you walk alongside me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart today, giving your life to Jesus, I want to welcome you to the family of God. You are embarking on a lifelong journey that will change the very essence of what it means to take each day one at a time. And so we would love to connect with you. We have a Bible and some resources we want to get in your hands. So today, if you raised your hand, or if you prayed that prayer and you didn't raise your hand and you gave your life to Jesus, connect with our greeter Bobby in the blue shirt at the back. She's waving at you and she's got a Bible and some stuff she'd like to get to you online. You can go to ascc.life and tap on I just gave my life to Jesus. Fill out that form there and we'll be sure to connect with you as well. Everyone, I am so thankful that you all came to join us today. You are all welcome back. Okay? You are. You're all welcome back. So I hope to see you all again soon. If you need prayer for anything, I'm going to spend the next 5 or 10 minutes right here for anyone that needs prayer. Otherwise, you're all dismissed. Feel free to have some cake and some cookies and to celebrate. And parents with nursery age kids, please go downstairs to pick them up. Other parents with older kids, your kids will be released to you. God bless.